Off the ball.
Rugby.
I think that win in Dublin was probably ahead of where they were. That was a bonus win in terms of it. And getting into the top four and being in that conversation is very, very positive. There's huge, huge positives.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Hello and welcome to Wednesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Evan Ferguson's on the score sheet for Roma once again as they go 3 points off the top in Serie A. Darren Fletcher begins life as Manchester United caretaker manager tonight with a trip to Burnley, and is the multi-club ownership model killing football? But first, Evan Ferguson's fine run of form at Roma continued last night. The Ireland international scored the first goal in their 2-0 win away to Lecce to keep them in the mix for a Champions League place in Serie A. Ferguson was also named man of the match after he scored his fifth goal of the season.
Captain Cristante finds Dybala for Ferguson. Wonderful finish. Evan Ferguson finding that golden touch.
21-year-old has scored 3 in his last 4. He was replaced by Artem Dovbek on the hour mark. The Ukraine international went on to get the second goal, but he did go off injured late in the game with a hamstring injury. And on last night's news round with Owen Sheehan and Cameron Hill, former striker Owen Doyle said Ferguson's time spent in Italy so far hasn't been a failure.
Every second week, it's all glory or none at all for Evan Ferguson.
I've had a theory on it, in the sense of that potentially that he thinks the best way of getting the best out of Ferguson is to
semi-abuse
him in the media.
Yeah.
I've actually played for managers that have tried to do that with players. Never lasts long. But yeah, maybe. I don't know. It just seems really harsh to me. It seems really harsh, his language.
Consistently. And like, I mean, even last week, there was kind of talk of this being a failed loan spell. Like, it's not like he shot the lights out and has scored a goal a game or anything like that. But even if it ended now, you wouldn't call this a failed loan spell, would you? Like, he's picked up numerous Man of the Match awards.
I think he's 5 goals. Not the end of the world for a 20-year-old. Yeah, yeah.
Not great.
Yeah.
It's not bad, but it's not a failed loan spell.
Definitely not a failed loan spell. Going out there and different culture, different league, trying to learn the ropes of everything. He's coming good at a good time. I think did he score 2 weeks ago as well?
Yeah.
Yeah,
in the minute, like the 28th, I think it was.
Yeah, like
in the middle of Christmas.
Only a month ago, Gazzetta were writing about the credits rolling on this. It's a sad end to this film. A once great player who was destined for stardom but couldn't quite make it. But I don't know. Even Gasperini, when he got the second goal against Genoa, was sort of like, I need more of that. Like, maybe I misjudged the lad, but it was still a kind of backhanded, where the hell was this?
Yeah. Very strange. It's just been, as you said, it probably is an aspect of it that is lost in translation, and we're getting something that's maybe, you know, a 7 out of 10 on the harshness getting turned up to 9 or a 10. Mm. But I think the sentiment has been overbearingly negative and undeservedly negative quite a lot when it comes to Ferguson this year. So, look, we're happy to come on air at 7 o'clock, fresh from a new Evan Ferguson goal, and fresh with fresh optimism for Irish football once again.
And remember, you can tune into Off the Ball from 7 o'clock every evening on News Talk, on your radios and on the Go Loud app each and every weeknight. Former Manchester United boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a leading contender to become United's caretaker manager until the end of the season. The Athletic's reporting that United are set to meet the Norwegian for face-to-face talks about the role in the coming days. Solskjaer previously managed United between December 2018 and November 2021. He was initially appointed as a caretaker boss when Jose Mourinho left. United will also hold talks with Michael Carrick, who took charge for 3 games in 2021, just after Solskjaer was sacked and before Ralf Rangnick came in. Ruud van Nistelrooy, who was interim manager for 4 games in between the Erik ten Hag and Ruben Amorim reigns, has also been mentioned. But Darren Fletcher, the current under-18s coach, will take charge of tonight's Premier League trip to Burnley. Johnny Evans has returned to the club to assist. Fletcher is also expected to be in charge for Sunday's FA Cup third-round tie at home to Brighton. And he insists all he's focused on is doing the best job for United after being put in interim charge. He says he hasn't been told how long he'll be in the role, though.
It's an amazing honour to be able to lead a Manchester United team, and something I'm really proud to do, not in the circumstances I expected it to happen. So that obviously is something that doesn't sit quite easy with me, but I've just to think of, I've got a job to do and I've got to lead the team tomorrow, and think of the great honour and pride in doing that.
The Scot, whose mother is from Achill Island in Mayo, says things move quickly in football.
It all happened very quickly on Monday morning. I had a game to prepare and a quick turnaround. You know, because of the quick turnaround from the Leeds game, the focus has been on the Burnley match, and then we'll speak after the game. Because I think it's important that we give the Burnley match the respect and focus it needs to prepare the team in such a short space of time.
Meanwhile, Crystal Palace boss Oliver Glasner says the fact he hasn't signed the new contract yet doesn't mean he won't be at Selhurst Park next season. His current deal expires in June, and the Austrian is one of the favourites for the United job.
You can sign a new contract, like managers in the Premier League did this year, or at the end of last year. They aren't the manager there anymore. You can win trophies. 6 months later, you aren't the manager there anymore. So I think if you see the length of the contract, doesn't mean anything about your future.
Palace play Aston Villa at Selhurst Park tonight from 7:30. Meanwhile, the man who'll be in the opposition dugout to Darren Fletcher is under pressure of his own. Burnley boss Scott Parker says he can understand why supporters would call for his head. Burnley have picked up just 2 points from their last 11 league games and are deep in relegation trouble.
I get that finger would be firmly pointed at me. I think all I can say is, as a team, you know, we cross a line on a Saturday or on a Wednesday, first and foremost wanting to please our fans and give our fans a result, and our drive is to give them that, and hopefully that'll be the case on Wednesday.
That game at Turf Moor kicks off at 8:15. I mentioned Palace are at home to Aston Villa. Villa can close the gap on leaders Arsenal to 3 points, but Palace are a bogey team for Villa. They've won 5 of the last 6 games between the two, and Villa boss Unai Emery is well aware of their recent record against Palace.
It's a team, normally you need to adapt, because their structure tactically is strong, and they have good players, good position, different, and we must adapt of them and compete.
In total, there are 6 games at 7:30 in the Premier League tonight, and Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola believes spirit will be more important than tactics when it comes to the title race. His side are dealing with a number of injuries ahead of their home game against Brighton. Like Villa, a win for City would move them within 3 points of top spot.
To sustain for every 3 days, 3 days, 3 days, 3 days, 3 days, a lot of games with a few players will be tough. But if the spirit is in the right spot, like we didn't have last season, we can have this season, we will be there.
Fulham boss Marco Silva has called on his players to write a new chapter in their rivalry with neighbours Chelsea. Callum McFarlane will be in charge of Chelsea once again, but new boss Liam Rossini will watch from the stands at Craven Cottage. Silva wants the same total commitment from his players that has seen them go on a 5-match unbeaten run in the league.
The main thing for us, that is a derby. Let's hope that the emotional part of a game like this one can help us to forget fatigue and something like that. Now is another opportunity for us to enjoy, to embrace a big challenge with our friends, to play really a derby like a derby should be played, and simple as that.
McFarlane got a draw against Manchester City in his first game as interim manager, and he says he expects new boss Rossini to hit the ground running.
I think it will be a smooth transition. I think the lads are in a really good place. I've mentioned loads of times like the level they've shown this year, and it's just about getting that on the most consistent basis possible. And I think Liam is really excited, I'm sure, to take this job, and he'll have full faith, and we back him fully that he'll come in and it'll be a really smooth transition.
And with many critics of Chelsea's owners taking advantage of their multi-club ownership model by appointing Liam Rossini, the New York Times' Tarek Pena joined Owen Sheehan and Owen Doyle last night, and he explained some of the reasons as to why club owners do it.
What are the different reasons for an owner or an ownership group to want to own multiple clubs? Is it just player and management movement?
It's a really good question. It depends who you are. So you've got a guy like a man in the news earlier in the summer, John Textor, the guy who had a bit of Crystal Palace. His vision really was, and it's similar to others, you bundle a bunch of things together and you make the whole bigger and you make it more attractive to potential investors. He wanted to float his multi-club ownership group on the stock exchange in New York. And is as far away from football as you could think. So that's a purely mercantile business related need to do this. I'm going to bolt all these clubs together. And he's not the only one. A lot of people have done this in the hope of then flogging it to someone else as a bigger operation. And then from what you talked about there, Owen, it's a bit, yeah, we can use all of this to loan players between our clubs, to buy talent, to nurse it in some of our other teams with the hope of increasing the value of these players, and then selling them on maybe at a profit. And then, you know, in the Chelsea case, if you noticed, there was a transfer that was, you know, quite telling. It was Ben Chilwell, who, you know, seasoned player, Premier League winner with Leicester. He's played for England. He was in the so-called bomb squad at Chelsea. There were no takers for him in the summer. What do we do? Let's stick him at Strasbourg. And that was another use of this. All of this, it just feels a bit, like I say, mercantile and grubby, and sort of, what are the values of football? Nowhere near any of this, or not what we would have considered. I'm a man in my mid-40s. Would I have considered this is what was going to happen to football, you know, when I started watching it? Not at all, but we're here now. And UEFA and the governing bodies haven't done anything, really. They've almost washed their hands with this. So they've created a situation where the rules used to be, if you owned one team, you can't have another team in the same competition. But it got so large, they were like, right, oh, what are we going to do? These people are really powerful. We'll come up with a bit of a wriggle around this. And they've got a situation which is called a blind trust. So if I own one club and I own another club in the same competition, what UEFA will let me do is to say, put it in a trust and just promise us that the management will be different. Have they not heard of WhatsApp?
And if you want to hear that chat back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. You can become a member and subscribe at offtheball.com/join. Everton manager David Moyes admits transfer reinforcements are unlikely this month as the club sticks to the long-term plan under owners, the Freakin' Group. The squad is stretched with Seamus Coleman, Kiernan Dewsbury-Hall, Charlie Alcaraz and Jarrod Branthwaite all out injured. Idrissa Gueye and Illimani Ndiaye are at the AFCON. Everton go up against bottom side Wolves, who are fresh off a first league win of the season at the weekend.
Obviously, we're looking out there to see what there is, and we can see if we can get something. But, you know, I just wouldn't want to get everybody's hopes up that we're, if I say lightly, then you might be thinking that that means that we're on with something. We're looking at some players and we're looking if we could add to it, we will do. But we've been quite careful with it.
Tottenham boss Thomas Frank says competition in the league is fierce. His side are in 13th place, but only 4 points off the top five, ahead of their trip to Bournemouth, who haven't won in 11 games.
We need to look optimistic and positive on the future, but also understanding where we are and keep working very hard to improve and make sure we are ready against a very good Bournemouth team.
Brentford boss Keith Andrews says they won't get too carried away with their league position at the halfway stage. The Bees are seventh after a five-game unbeaten run. Andrews' team host Sunderland tonight, knowing a win would move them within a point of the Champions League places.
Regardless of where we are, really, I've focused on the next game. I don't tend to look too further away from that. I think it's disrespectful to the league and what is a very, very demanding league. I think the league will tell you that. The points between 7th and 14th, very, very little, 3 points, I believe. Yeah, we just focus on the next one, which will be a difficult game.
And on this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, co-editor of Besotted, Billy Grant, joined Ger Gilroy and Adrian Barry, and he explained how data has influenced the success of the club.
The owner is Matthew Benham, that's who you're talking about there.
That's right, that's the owner, Matthew Benham. I'm surprised I didn't name check him, actually. Yeah, Matthew Benham, absolute genius. He's great and he's got this whole team behind him. Again, a lot of people might know about the history about him, but he had a company, or has a company, which deals in analytics and gambling, but professional gambling as such. And what they do is they use numbers to crunch, to actually kind of, you know, find out little facts about certain things. And he decided to take his company and put it into this system of going to find players. So a lot of people think, oh, it's all scientific hokey pokers. But what it is if you imagine you're going out to coach, you're going out to find a player. So what you'll do is that you'll send a load of coaches all over and they'll might see a player once. They think, oh, it looks really good. Then he'll turn up, you know, in your ground, you'll sign him, and then he's terrible. What they'll do is that they'll just use their system to sift through, say, 1,000 players. And before they know it, they've got 20 players that they might be looking at. And then they start using the analytical processes, watching them, seeing them, meeting them, everything like that, to actually kind of nail it down. So it's just a process which, you know, it's shifting through the through the nonsense as it is. And it's a really clever system for us, and it seems to work for us. So that's how he's applied it. And because they own their own data and they analyse it in their own way, we're very good at doing it. Whereas other people, they're not as expert as where we are. And yes, of course they make mistakes all the time, but more often than not, it kind of does hit. And we've signed, you know, not only, you know, one of the first players that we actually signed, you know, through this system as well, when we delved into Ireland, other than Stuart Dallas, which is back in the day, was actually Chidozie Igbeni, who we actually loved, right? And the reason why they loved him is because they wanted a fast player. So they saw him playing for, it wasn't Cork, I don't think, at the time. He was playing actually over in Ireland. And they just said, this kid, he's really young. We can get him for maybe £1 million or something like that. And we'll try it out. So the whole little system, they tried him out. And for anything, Chidozie came to Brentford probably a little bit too late, because by that time we were on our rise and he couldn't really make it into the first team, so he moved on. But I thought he would have been a brilliant player for us if they'd actually got into the system and managed to get himself to the first team. So that's just a little example of kind of players that we kind of have within our system where maybe not work out for us, but you see them, actually they've ended up becoming good players anyway, and very, very useful for the Republic of Ireland team.
You can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app. It's also available on YouTube as well. Meanwhile, Sunderland boss Régis Labrie says the next step for them is to turn draws into wins. Sunderland are unbeaten in 5, but have come away with draws in the last 4 games.
Yeah, it's a good run. We showed great consistency, a good level of play across different scenarios. Probably we want to turn this consistency into more wins, because I know that this ambition within the squad is really there, but so far it was good.
Newcastle boss Eddie Howe says it's been a strange Premier League season so far, with little separating the teams. His side could end the night in 5th place if they get a 3rd consecutive win against a Leeds side aiming to pull further clear of the bottom 3. Howe says it won't be an easy task though.
The difference between all the teams is probably smaller than it's ever been. All the games are really tight. I think the league generally, sort of the strength through the league has got stronger.
Leeds boss Daniel Farke says they're going up against one of the best teams in the league. Leeds are looking to extend their longest unbeaten run in the top flight since 2001, and Farke believes his side can get something from the game at St James's Park.
We know what a difficult place Newcastle is to go there. They are there with a very impressive home record. But we are also in a good shape, and we travel also there with good confidence and want to be, again, difficult to play against.
That game at St James's Park kicks off at 8:15. The other 8:15 kickoff is the one at Turf Moor between Burnley and Manchester United. Last night, Nottingham Forest came from behind to win 2-1 away to fellow strugglers West Ham. Morgan Gibbs-White scored a penalty in the 89th minute for Forest. Boss Sean Dyche admits it wasn't a pretty performance.
You can feel the nerves in the stadium. So no, they're awkward games. They always are them, and they're important games. Everyone's 6 points and all the rest of it. But, you know, we've shown a mentality to find a way of winning, and that's an important factor because that's what you need in a team. It can't always be beautiful. You've got to find a way.
Forest are now 7 points clear of their opponents, who are in the final relegation place. Former Forest and current West Ham boss Nuno Espirito Santo felt his side deserved something from the game.
I think we did enough good things to win the match today. I think the boys really work hard. We score a goal, ruled out by fine margin of offside. That was the moment of the game. Then a lot of incidents happened, but nothing to say about the hard work of the boys today.
Liverpool boss Arnold Slot says Hugo Ekitike is a major doubt for tomorrow's game away to leaders Arsenal. The France international missed Sunday's draw with Fulham due to a hamstring issue. Slot says he's unsure if Ekitike will be ready for tomorrow.
He's not trained with us till now. Let's see if he can today. I've said, I think, 2 or 3 days ago when we played Fulham, that he's not going to be out for long. But yeah, because games come so fast, he's in between maybe training with the team, or it would take him 1 or 2 days extra.
Shamrock Rovers have added to their backroom staff ahead of the new season. Former player Sean Kavanagh has swapped playing for coaching with the double winners. Stephen McPhail stepped down from his role as sporting director last month, less than 24 hours after their final game of the season, which was a 3-1 win over Hamrun in the Conference League. Kavanagh had spells in England with Fulham, Mansfield and Hartlepool before he returned to Tala in 2018. The 31-year-old was capped by Ireland at under-21 level 11 times, and he scored 2 goals. Rovers are due to announce a replacement for McPhail as sporting director in the next few days. And Manchester United winger Amad Diallo scored for Ivory Coast in their 3-0 win over Burkina Faso in the last 16 of the Africa Cup of Nations. The defending champions will play Egypt in the quarterfinals. Algeria scored in the last minute of extra time to beat DR Congo 1-0 to set up a meeting with Nigeria in the last 8. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.